Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Last summer, I had to do one of the worst things a parent ever has to do. I had to take my daughter to college. 18 years old, going to college in California, away from home for the first time. I am dying inside, but I'm trying not to show it, right? I'm trying to encourage her. And what I know is she'll do better if she's prepared. So I try to prepare her. I say things, true things, like, it's not gonna feel right. It's gonna feel kind of awkward because it's not your real home. Your real home is with us, and so you're going to feel homesick, but that's okay. It's okay to feel that way. It's sad, but just know you're supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to feel homesick because you're away from home. You're going to be okay. You'll come home soon. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go throw up. I want to talk to you today about home as we continue our new series, Different. In this series, we're asking questions like, what is different about us? If you're someone who has faith in Jesus, what's different? One of the cool things about Verve is we get people who believe and who don't believe. We get agnostics and atheists and apathetics who are just checking things out. We love that. That's awesome. This is a safe place to search. But if you do believe in Jesus, what should be different? What needs to be different? And we're going to see today that we have a different hope because we have a different home. But we're studying a book of the Bible called 1 Peter. It's from about 65 AD. Peter wrote this to Christians who were being persecuted by Nero, the emperor of Rome. He wants to encourage them. And we saw when we launched this series that he begins his letter to God's elect exiles scattered. He says, you are God's elect, meaning God chose you. And then he says, you are exiles. That word can also be translated foreigners or travelers or someone passing through. Later in the book, he says, you are temporary residents and foreigners. Peter is saying, you are a resident alien. That's the term we would use today. A resident alien is someone who lives permanently in a country, but they don't have citizenship in that country. It's not their home. It's just where they live. Peter says to them, he says to us, you are exiles. Resident aliens. This is not your home. This world is not your home. For other people, this world is home, but your home is different. Heaven is your home. And if you're discouraged or maybe feeling defeated with what's happening in the world, well, be encouraged because this world is not your home. You're just passing through. And man, that makes a lot of difference. In verse 1, Peter says, you are in exile. This is not your home. In verses 3 and 4, he points them to their true home. Here's 1 Peter, verses 3 and 4, chapter 1. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So he tells them, hey, listen, when you were born into Jesus, you were born into a living hope. Living meaning it can't die. It won't spoil. It doesn't fade. It's made possible because Jesus defeated death, which, by the way, really happened. The resurrection is not a myth Christians like to believe. Jesus actually rose from the dead. It's a real event from history that's been proven. And there's tons of evidence, tons of books you can read if you need that evidence. We have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. That living hope changes everything. Without it, you'll get discouraged. You'll want to quit. But man, if you can get a hold of this idea that this is not your home, that you have an eternal future in your true and perfect home, heaven, that will give you hope. Man, when you go through crap, when you struggle, when you experience trials, you will persevere. You'll get through it because you know this is just temporary. Right? The suffering won't last forever. It will be replaced by joy forever. It'd be kind of like this. Imagine that you get on a plane and you're sitting there when the pilot comes out and he says, hey, I just want to tell you, I was looking at the radar and I feel like you should all know this flight is going to be kind of rough. I mean, we're going to make it for sure. You don't have to worry about that. But you are going to experience some turbulence. So just buckle up. It's going to be fine. Question. Do you stay on that flight? Answer. Where's it going, right? Like, let's say this. Hawaii. The flight is going to Hawaii. 9-hour flight. Most of it's going to be fine, but there's going to be a few bumpy spots, and then you get 2 weeks in Hawaii. You staying on the flight? Yes, you are, right? If the flight was to, Cleveland or Pahrump or something, maybe not. But Hawaii, yeah, I'm staying on the flight if it's Hawaii. Now, you know it's going to be a little uneasy. You're going to be a little uneasy, right? Because you know what's coming. You were told, right? There's going to be turbulence, but you also know it's going to be worth it. So when the turbulence does hit, you're like, okay, I don't like this, but I knew it was going to happen. I was warned, and I'm just passing through the sky. Hawaii is where I'm going. Jesus said, in this world, you will have some trouble. Buckle up. Does that make you uneasy? Sure, it does me. But when problems do hit, it's like, I don't like this, but I knew it was coming, right? I was warned. And it's okay because I'm in exile. I'm just passing through. Heaven is my true home, right? You can deal. You can hang because your home is in heaven. But for now, you live here, right? And so there's a certain amount of homesickness you experience here, right? You probably never thought of it that way, but that's really what it is. That's what we feel. You are homesick for a home you've never been to yet, but you were made for it, and it is your true home. There's a paper written by a student named Kyle Dugdale at the Harvard School of Design. This was his Master of Architecture thesis. Kyle writes about how, in the beginning, we lived in a perfect place, a garden surrounded by God's presence, right? The Bible talks about that in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, there was this garden and God was there. But man sinned and had to leave the garden. What was his response? He went and he built homes and made a city. Architecture was the solution. And ever since, we've been constructing buildings. And this student argues in this paper that architecture is like our defense mechanism for losing access to the presence of God. Almost like, you know, we're trying to build our way back. We're trying to construct homes and cities to work our way back to heaven. And he says in his paper, he says, of course that doesn't work. He says, buildings are essentially attempts to replace the sense we lost in the very beginning of being home. But the problem is, buildings were never meant to be our home. God is home. God's presence is our home. Kyle says that architecture is a poor substitute for the Garden of Eden. He says it's not a cure for humanity's sickness, but more of an expression of it. Like there's this essential emptiness in our hearts, this ache we can't shake, and we try to build a bigger house, more square footage, in an attempt to fill that emptiness, but it's never going to work because it will never truly be home. God is home. We were meant to live in God's presence in heaven. Heaven is going to be our true home. And so, living life here on earth, well, it's not going to feel right. It's going to feel kind of awkward because it's not your real home. Your real home is with God, so you're going to feel homesick, but that's okay. It's okay to feel that way. It's sad, but just know you're supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to feel homesick because you're away from home. You're going to be okay. You'll be home soon. And if you'll excuse me now, I need to go throw up now. Listen, until then, right? Until we finally get home, because it is so hard, because we do feel homesick, God gives you something to help you. It's kind of a home away from home. Last summer, after we dropped Marissa off at college, about, I think it was a month or two later, we went to visit. We have friends who live near her college, and they were away, so they let us use their house, and we brought some games from home that Marissa likes to play. We brought food that Marissa likes to eat, and it was like, hey, like, you're away from home, but we really want to encourage you with just a little home away from home. Sometimes when you're away, it's nice to have a little home away from home time, right? So check out what Peter writes in the next chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And then he writes in verses 9 and 10, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. What was that all about? Well, Peter is talking about church. That's what he's writing about there. He's saying, listen, each of you on your own, you're just kind of like random rocks, but God has put life in you. So you are now a living stone, and God wants to bring you together. And when you come together, God makes you into this spiritual temple. You together are like this house that God lives in. You create together this home away from home. And when you're together, you get a taste of heaven. You get this reminder of your true home. You get encouraged with a little home away from home. And if you're living a life of faith, it is going to be so easy to feel just like you don't belong in this world. The reason you feel that way is because you don't. You don't. You may be the only Christian in your family, and so you feel like you don't exactly belong in your family. And you know, you start reading the Bible and having biblical values, and so you don't belong to either political party, and you don't belong to the partiers or the people who judge the partiers. It's easy to feel like there's so many places in this world where you just don't belong. And so God gave us the church as a place to belong. It's a place for you to belong. And man, ultimately, isn't that what we crave? You know, people talk about their fears, right? Like, so my wife is afraid of snakes. My daughter is afraid of drowning. I am afraid of roundabouts, like on a road. Like, if you drive on Buffalo Drive here in Vegas or anywhere in New Jersey, like I'm always afraid I'm just going to keep going in circles. And I'm like, where do I get off? I don't know. But okay. But for real, I think one of our greatest fears is being invisible. You're like, no, that's a superpower. I want that. No, it's not. Well, maybe. But why do you want it? I mean, that's kind of weird. Stalker much? It's a little weird, right? But I think too many of us feel invisible. Like, no one notices me. No one really cares. You felt like that, right? Me too. And we need a place. A place to belong. And God gave us the church, home away from home. And I want to tell you that you belong here. You belong here with your faith or your lack of faith. You belong here with your doubts. You belong here if you love God. And you belong here if you're mad at Him. You belong here. And you can be known here. That's why taking our next step, we talk about next step, it's like kind of a fun course, or getting into a Verb group is such a big deal, because that's when you're known, and that's when you feel like you belong. This is your home away from home. It's a place to belong. It's also a place to help others belong, because we're not the only ones who need to not feel invisible. Everyone needs to be known. Everyone needs to know God. That's why everyone is invited, and why we try to make everyone feel welcome. Have you ever been in maybe a hotel waiting for the elevator? You hit the button, right? And you're standing there. Maybe you've got your kids with you, or maybe you're carrying some suitcases, and maybe there's a lot of people, and you're just hoping that when the door opens, there will be room for you. You're tired of waiting. You're like, man, when this door opens, I hope there's enough room for me and my kids or me and my suitcases. Finally, the door opens, and it's pretty crowded. There's some room, but it's pretty crowded. And you look, and you can see on all the people's faces annoyance, right? They're like, here you are. A few floors ago, they were in the same position that you're now in, right? They were on the outside, but now they're inside, and they're annoyed. And so you're there with your kids, your suitcase, and you're like, I'm sorry. Sorry, you had to stop for me. Excuse me. If you could just, sorry, you're just, You're going to need to make a little room for me, right? And the people are all looking like, I guess we can make room for this idiot. And so you get on, right? You kind of squeeze yourself in, and you're like, sorry, thanks. There's room. See, we're good. It's okay. And the door closes, and suddenly you're one of them, right? You were an outsider, but now you're in. And 10 feet later, the elevator stops at the next floor, and it opens, and you're like, oh, look at this. Unbelievable, right? It's a guy with his little kid, and you're like, get a load of him. He wants in. You really need to get in here now, and the kid. You're looking around. You're like, well, I guess we can make room for this moron and his ugly kid. Oh, some people. It's like, No. I wanted grace, but now I don't want to give it right now, because now it's inconvenient for me. Man, let's never be those people, right? At Verve, let's never be those people. Let's always remember that 10 feet ago, we were the ones who needed mercy. Let's always remember, 10 feet ago, we were the ones who needed to belong. Let's always remember that we always need to keep making room for more. God gave us the church to be a place for me to belong and for me to help others belong. We want to live in a way that makes our lives and our faith, Jesus, attractive. Peter's going to talk about that as we continue in this letter he wrote. We want to live beautiful lives that makes other people curious and draws them in. And then we want to help them to find the faith that has changed our lives. And we want to help them to belong in our little home away from home. What we want is for them to just get a taste of heaven here, so that one day they can experience all of heaven. Because there is a day coming when we are going to go home. And it's going to be awesome. It will be our first ever experience of perfect. I cannot wait. Until then, it's going to be a little awkward. We're going to be a little homesick. It will feel a little weird because we've never even been to that home yet, but it's okay. We'll be home soon. Until then, God's given us a home away from home, a place to belong, a place to help others belong. So let's make sure we do that. Let's make sure we are known and that we make him known. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for Jesus. He is the hero of our story because he brought heaven to us. He made a way for the door to be open so that we could step in to a relationship with you, so that we can live our lives knowing that we are exiles here, that heaven is coming, and whatever we go through here is only temporary. God, Jesus is also the one who gave us the church. Thank you for our home away from home. Help us to be people who make ourselves known and step in so we can belong. And God, help us to always create space for other people because everyone needs to belong. Thanks for Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.